Have you ever accidentally read the side effects of your medication? I mean, by law, they have to give them to us, right? So we pick up our medication and we take our medicine because we want to be well. But have you ever read the side effects of medication that you're taking? So here's how I wanted to start this morning, is by reading to you a list of side effects of one of the most common medications that's out there on the market today. So here's what we're going to do. These are side effects. Now, if you have a queasy stomach, do your friend a favor. Do your neighbor a favor. Just kind of do this number right here, okay? So I'm going to give you the side effects. Then I'm going to tell you the medicine, okay? Medicine is probably in your medical medicine cabinet. Abdominal pain, acid or sour stomach, belching and bloating. Y'all are all ready for lunch, aren't you? Already, right? Diarrhea, difficulty having a bowel movements, which is like the opposite of, correct? Excess air or gas in stomach or intestines. Ooh. Heartburn, indigestion, itching skin, pain or discomfort in your chest, upper stomach or throat, pale skin, passing gas, which I thought was excess air or gas in stomach. That's what I thought. But evidently, it's different. Nausea, noisy, rattling breathing. That's what happens when I play basketball. Rash with flat lesions or small raised lesions on the skin. Shortness of breath, swelling of the face, fingers, hands, feet, lower legs or ankles. Trouble breathing at rest. Trouble breathing with exertion. Unusual bleeding or bruising, unusual tiredness or weakness, vomiting, and weight gain. That is the side effects of ibuprofen, y'all. That's the side effects of ibuprofen. Did you know that? Did you know that when you have a pain and you pop one of those ibuprofen pills, that's what could happen to you. That's called side effects. Now, what's a side effect? A side effect is something that happens to you or to I when we take specific action. So in this case, if I eat a pill of ibuprofen, then there's a possibility these types of side effects are going to happen to me. Now, what's the difference between a side effect and a benefit? Well, it's just whether or not you want the thing to happen to you. So a side effect is something that we look at negative happening because of an action, but a benefit is something that is good because of an action. So I did some research on some really awesome companies, and I'm not going to share with you the name of the company because I don't want to endorse them here on God's platform, but let me just tell you this. There's a company out there. I'm going to give you three of their benefits, okay? If you work at this company, you get free food and snacks every day. I thought I was going to get a little more out of that. Yeah, free food and snacks every day. To me, that's a pretty awesome thing. You also, if you work at this specific company, you get to bring your pet to work. Little Fido. Little kitty kitty, little python, you get to bring them to work. So you get free food and free snacks, and you get to bring your pet to work. Now, this is a significant one, and it's not fun to think about because it's about death. But if you die while you're working at this company, your spouse, if you're married, your spouse will get 50% of your income for 10 years. That's significant. So what's the difference? Well, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about side effects of ibuprofen, or we're talking about the benefits of working at this specific company. We're talking about things that happen when you engage in an action. On the ibuprofen side, you eat an ibuprofen, this might be something that happens to you. On the benefit side, if you work at this company, these are things that might happen to you. Now, the reason that I lead up to this and the reason that I say all of this is because today we're talking about what type of stuff happens in our life when we start to pray. Now, in my mind, it's benefits, which is why the title of the message, if you have your note sheet this morning, is Four Biblical Benefits of Prayer. But listen, I don't know, maybe you look at these four things and you say, these aren't benefits, these are side effects. These are things that I don't want. Well, if you don't want them, then my advice to you is don't pray. Because as you turn to Psalm chapter 40 this morning, we're looking at some things that we can expect. Now, are these promises? No. Are these things that happen every single time? I don't, maybe not. But these are things that seem to be normal in the prayer life of people of faith. When you look at the scripture, in other words, over and over and over again, these four things happen over and over and over in the life of the believer. So today we're focusing on the benefits of prayer. Last week we were thinking about Jesus and his perspective of prayer. So we looked at the life of Jesus, and we looked some in the Gospel of Matthew and some in the Gospel of Luke, some in the Gospel of John, and we asked ourselves, what did Jesus really think about prayer? And so we said a couple of things. He encouraged it. He taught about it. He practiced it. He relied on it. Prayer was an important part of Jesus's life, not only personally, but as he taught others to live life in the kingdom of God. Well, today I want for us to think about, what should I expect to happen to me if I decide that I'm going to up my prayer life? If I'm really going to begin seeking God's face in prayer, what should I expect? Well, to me, these are benefits. To me, these are four biblical benefits of being in prayer and having a powerful, surging prayer life. Psalm chapter 40, we're going to look at three verses, the first three verses. Here's what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord. Any of you ever have to wait patiently for God? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, and he drew me out of the miry bog, and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Lord, would you bless your word? Would you draw somebody into the kingdom of God this morning, Lord, because of your glory, because of what we discover in this passage and the richness and the power that we will find in these three verses? Would you bring somebody into your kingdom this morning, God? Would you take somebody here this morning that is your child, but it is far from you, a prodigal, and would you bring them back to the family? Would you work in our lives, Lord? We together, as we begin to consider and to think about this scripture, we offer our soul to you, O God. We open our heart. We open our mind. We ask you to change the way that we think. We ask you to change the things that we love. Would you set our love and our heart on you, God? We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have your note sheet, you see that we're going to look at four biblical benefits of prayer. And the first is divine nearness. One of the greatest benefits of having a powerful, consistent prayer life is that we spend actual time in the presence of the holy God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 1, the God who created everything, that is the God that we are near when we're spending time in prayer. And if you turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and you look at the beginning of eternity where all things are conquered and where God dwells himself with mankind, and you say, wow, that is an amazing God. That is the God that we are near when we are spending time in prayer. And if you read from Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 22, and you see all of the mentions of God and all of the amazing things that God has done and all of the amazing things that God has thought, that is the God that we have the privilege of being near to when we have a prayer life. And so this morning, I long for you to have a prayer life because I long for you to be near God. And I long for you to know what it means to spend face time in the presence of a divine Lord. You know, there's some studies out there, and I'm no doctor, you probably know that, but there's some studies out there that talk about the benefit of newborn babies having skin-to-skin interaction with moms and dads. And there's some differences, right? So when a baby has skin-to-skin time with mom and baby has skin-to-skin time with dad, there's some unique differences there. But there's more commonalities. There's more common things than there are unique things. And so what I thought I would do is I would share with you some things that are true about newborn babies when they have skin-to-skin contact with mom or dad. First, skin-to-skin contact with a newborn baby accelerates brain development. Not only does it accelerate brain development, but it calms, soothes, and reduces stress. Now, you may not have known that newborns can have stress. Look, from the time we're born, right, we're facing stress. Because it's stressful to be hungry. Can I get an amen? But skin-to-skin contact accelerates brain development. It calms, it soothes, it reduces stress. It improves the quality of sleep. Some of you are thinking, I'm going to go home right now and find me a baby in skin-to-skin because I need to, you know, accelerate the quality of sleep. Listen to this. It enhances the immune system. Skin-to-skin contact enhances a newborn baby's immune system when it's with mom or with dad. The reason that I share that with you is because I want to convince you this morning that just like the nearness between a newborn and a mother or dad has these benefits, this powerful way of enhancing the life of a newborn, listen to me. Being near to your Creator brings benefits. And so we said, well, skin-to-skin with a newborn accelerates brain development. How about wisdom? When you are in the presence of God, you gain wisdom. For a newborn, accelerates brain development. For us, it accelerates wisdom. Calm, soothes, and reduces stress. Trust. We learn to trust God the more we spend time in His presence. Improves quality of sleep. Peace. Peace. Peace means at this point of rest. When we have peace with God, we have rest with God. When we sleep with peace, we're able to rest. Enhances immune system. Strength. When we spend time in the presence of God, if we have this powerful prayer life, and one of the benefits that comes with it is divine nearness. And if it's true that a newborn, their immune system is boosted when they have this skin-to-skin time with their mom or their dad, here's the way that we can kind of apply that to our spiritual lives. If we spend time in the presence of God, it strengthens us. I mean, you can look in the scripture over and over and find people that were out for the count, that had the world stacked against them. It didn't look like there was any way out for them. But you get them out for 5 minutes in the presence of God, and they march out and they're ready to face the world. They are strong in their heart. So what's the benefit of prayer life? It's being in God's presence. Not only is it being in God's presence, but point two, transformation. We not only get to experience the presence of God, but we're transformed. Now, here's what I want you to do with me. Look in verse 2. Here's what the scripture says. God drew me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and He set my feet up on a rock, and He made my steps secure. If that is not a gorgeous and beautiful picture of the transforming nature of our prayer life and being in the presence of God, I don't know what is. I mean, this is what the psalmist is saying when he writes Psalm chapter 40. He said, my life was on the brink of destruction. And when you take a panorama of my life and you look at where I'm at in that moment, my life can be described as a miry bog, as a miry pit. And I was on the brink of destruction. And I cried out to God. And the scripture says He inclined towards me. You know what that means? That means He came near and He paid attention. You ever talk to somebody and you feel like they're not paying attention to you? You ever talk to somebody while they're checking their phone? You ever try to have a meeting with somebody that keeps looking at their phone? Have you ever been talking eyeball to eyeball with somebody and they're looking past you? Isn't that frustrating? You know what Psalm 40 says? When I cried out to God, He didn't check His phone. He paid attention to what I was saying. He treated me seriously. When I cried out to God, He was attentive to where I was at. And He transformed my life because I was on the brink of destruction and I was sinking in quicksand, and He picked me up. And He set me on a rock and He made my feet secure. You know, people want to improve their life. Do you know that? Do you know that people long and hunger for transformation? In fact, you may not call it transformation, but I did a little more research. Here's what I found out to prove that people are longing for their situation to improve. According to marketresearch.com, listen to these numbers. The United States itself, just people in the United States, spent $10 billion. That's the number 10 with nine zeros. 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 zeros. $10 billion on self-improvement last year. That's 1 year. You know, some of you are thinking right now, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to get in on that $10 billion market. You know what the projections are for what year? Let me look and see. Okay, 2022. It's moving from $10 billion to $13.2 billion is what the self-help industry is going to look like. You know what that tells me? People want to change. People understand what it feels like to be on the brink of destruction, to be in that miry bog, and to be wondering to themselves, what am I going to do for my situation to change? Now, I don't know what your pit of destruction is, but do you remember when you experienced that pit of destruction, what it felt like? Feeling hopeless, feeling panicked, having all of this anxiety because you feel yourself sinking and you don't know how to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Look, here's the reason that there's a $10 billion self-help industry out there, because nobody's figured it out yet. That's why tons of people are making a lot of money. Don't you think if one person wrote a book that really worked, there would be one book on the market? They have. It's called the Word of God. And here's what the scripture is saying. That not only is the benefit for me being in the presence of Almighty God that put me together inside of my mom, that knows me better than I know myself, but if you hunger for your life to be different, if you hunger for your life to be better, if you hunger for your life to reflect more the image of God that He created you to be, pray. The psalmist says, I cried out to God and He transformed my life. He took me from one place and He put me in another place that's better. Because it's one thing to go from one place to the other, but if it's equal places, you've won nothing. In fact, if you go from one place to another, but it's worse, you've lost. But the scripture says that every time somebody places their life in the hands of God, He takes it and He does something better with it. Maybe you need transformation today. Maybe today's the day that you're here and you say, I need God to transform my life. I'm ready to cry out to Jesus. I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to make a commitment to the Lord. I just need to know what needs to happen for my life to transform. I'm going to help you with that before we go, but I want for us to look at the third benefit. The third benefit is that God gives us a passion and a heart for worship. Look in verse 3. It says, He put a new song. Verse 3, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. You know, there was a season in my life where I would come to church and I would feel so alienated from everybody around me singing and worshiping. And I would see the lyrics up on the screen and the worship leaders and everybody around me. And I would just think to myself, why don't I feel like singing to God? So I went to my youth pastor and we talked about it, and he carried me through and he explained things to me, and he helped me to understand some some realities, some things that I could do better. And he helped me understand that worship isn't just about feelings and praising God isn't just about feelings, but God created us with emotions and feelings, and so it's okay to express them. And so that's a whole nother sermon, and I'm not trying to take us into that direction. But the point being is that I can identify with people who see all of this excitement about the things of God and yet feel nothing. One of the reasons that that might be true for you, if that's where you're at, one of the reasons for that might be because your prayer life is suffering, because you're not spending time in the presence of God. Look, who in the world can spend time in the presence of God and experience the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ and not give God praise for that? What's interesting about the scripture is it says, he put a new song in my mouth, and he didn't say, and it was a dirge. Anybody know what a dirge is? It's like a sad song. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a music major, so I'm just like going out on a limb on these things. But look, it doesn't say that God put a new song in my mouth, a song of complaint to God, a song of sorrow to God. It says that the Lord put in my mouth a song of praise to God. To God and to God alone. Are you worshiping the Lord? I want to move on to benefit four, but before I do that, I want to ask you this question. Do you lack a heart of worship and a commitment to prayer? Because if you do, I'm inviting you to change today. There is such beauty and such richness in a Psalm 40 life, interacting with a holy God, being transformed by his power, having the heart and the spirit of worship where God is giving you a song and you're releasing it back to him, a song of praise directed towards the Lord. Benefit four. This is where your prayer life not only transforms you, but it starts affecting everybody around you, right? Witness. Do you see the last part of verse 3? I want you to see that this morning before we look at some myths and some cautions. Look at the last part of verse 3. Many. Who is many? Many are your friends. Many are your enemies. Many is your family and your neighbors and your co-workers. Many, the scripture says. So I've cried out to God. God has transformed me. God has put a spirit of worship in me. God has given me a song of worship. And now it's not only affecting me, the psalmist says, but he's getting ready. The psalmist is getting ready for the way that his prayer to God is going to impact many people. Here's what it's specifically, three things. Many people will see. Many people will fear. Now, you may think it's a bad idea to fear God. It's not. I don't want to spend time developing that. I just want to tell you, it's a healthy thing to fear God. Well, I thought I was supposed to love God. You are. I thought God and I were friends. Well, if you're in Christ, you are. But listen to me. When I was growing up, I was friends with my dad, and I loved my dad. But I had a healthy level of fear. And so you don't have to choose love or fear. It's appropriate for us to experience both with God. And so when we say that many will see and fear God, that's actually delivered to us in a positive way. I want people to look at God and fear God when they look at my life. I want people to see the fingerprint of God on my life. I want them to fear God. And look at the last thing that verse 3 says. Many will put their trust in God. Why? It all started with a prayer. It all started with somebody that was waiting patiently on the Lord and that was crying out to God. And so God paid attention and God transformed and God put a new song in this person's mouth. And now the effects are widespread. Many will see, fear, and trust the Lord. So do you need to cry out to God today? In a second, we're going to look at myths about prayer. In a second, we're going to look at some cautions about prayer. But I want to ask you straight up this morning, is today the day that you need to cry out to the Lord and say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness? That's step one. Are you hungry for a life that's connected to the Lord? Step one is giving your life to Christ. This young lady that was in the baptistry, you saw the camera when it came on her, the tears in her eyes. As Cody asked, have you given your life to Jesus? You know what she said? Yes. Can you say that? Can you say that? If you can, I'm asking you to receive the Lord Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. That is your first step. If you're hungry to have a life that's close to God, we only come close to God through Jesus. If you need to do that today, I'm asking you to stop by the Connection Center and do that. I'm asking you to make sure that that's correct before you leave today. Let me share with you two myths and two cautions and we'll close. Myth number one about prayer: I can't have patience and passion at the same time. If you go back up to the first verse that we looked at, Psalm chapter 40, and you notice what it said. It said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And a lot of us have this myth that I can't be passionate about prayer and be patient at the same time. I want you to understand that the scripture in verse 1 says that both of them go together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and I cried out to God. So I want you to myth bust with me today. I don't want you to believe the lie that if you're going to have a passionate prayer life, you can't be patient and wait on God. You can do both. But oftentimes we think in these terms. We think that I can either be patient or I can be passionate, but I can't have both. Well, Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 says that patiently waited for the Lord as I was crying out to him. So it's a myth that you can't do both of them. It's another myth to say that if I pray with faith, God must deliver to me my request. That's a myth. It is a myth for us to think that if I pray with faith, God must deliver my request to me. Listen, let me tell you, if that's true, if it is true that if I pray with faith that God has to do whatever it is that I want him to do, then I'm God and he's not. We have to be very careful the way that we think about God and the way that we perceive God. Because if you or I believe that if I just pray with faith, God has to do whatever I tell him to do, we are beginning to think that God is like this cosmic genie. And prayer is like rubbing the bottle of the genie to come out and say, you rang, sir, or you rang, ma'am? Yes, God, I'm praying by faith that when I leave, it won't be raining on me. I'm praying by faith, God, that when I pull up to the supermarket, there won't be any spaces, there will be a lot of open spaces at the front. I mean, what does it say about God if I am in control? You know, we talk a lot about praying with faith. I want you to have faith and I want you to pray. I want your prayer life to be greater and greater and greater. But it is a myth for us to think that we can force God to do something through prayer. God is God. Now, does he honor prayer? Yes. Does he see our prayer? Yes. Does he hear our prayer? Yes. Is he inclined towards us? Well, according to Psalm 40, verse 1, yes. But please, don't adopt a viewpoint that you can force God into doing what you want him to do if you pray with faith. That's a myth. Let me share with you two cautions. I want you to caution you against crying out against God's blessings. Verse 1 says, I cried out to God. And as a preacher, I'm encouraging you, cry out to God. Find the pain points in your life and cry out against them. Find the areas of your life that you want to be transformed, that you want to be different, that you want to be stronger and better, and cry out for those things. But I want to caution you to make sure that when you cry out against something, it's not actually a blessing that God has placed in your life. Now, some of the students in here have a struggle because they're the only believer in their home. And maybe you're a student here and you've got some dysfunctional stuff going on in your house. And you're praying and you're seeking God's help. And I'm not talking about you, but there's a group of students who has awesome parents. They believe in limitations and parameters and rules, regulations. And students get upset about things like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So at night when they're saying their prayers, they're crying out against their parents. Lord, I don't understand why my dad has all of these strict rules. Touch him with just a hint of grace. I'm making a joke, but here's the point. Sometimes what we perceive to be difficulties in our life are things that God has actually placed there to transform us. So I want you to cry out, but would you just make sure that when you're crying out to God, when you're laying it all on the line with God, that you're crying out against things that you need to be crying out against, and you're not asking God to remove blessings from your life that He put there by Himself. Last, then we'll close. We'll pray and we'll close. I'm going to mention this to you, and I want to explain it because it takes a little explanation. Be cautious about being startled to resistance. And as you write that, let me explain what I mean by that. I was in a conversation with a friend this past week who said, you know, I've really been praying that God would move in my life, and then God did, and it startled me. And isn't this person is a great person of the faith. Like, they're not a new believer. Isn't it interesting, though, that we pray, and even people who have been following Jesus for a long time, I've been following the Lord since 1997. And I will pray, God will answer, and it still startles me. And it's not that I don't have faith. It's just like, oh, God, you actually moved in that. And God's like, yeah, Zach, like, that's what we talked about, right? Well, sometimes when we hunger for transformation, when we hunger for God to put His hands on our life and start shaping us and molding us and doing stuff with our heart and doing stuff with our mind and really doing stuff in our relationships and just really being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our own personal life, and He starts doing that, it startles us. And sometimes when we get startled, we resist because it's unknown. And so it's possible for us to be praying, oh God, would you transform my life? And so the Lord starts to transform your life and you're like, wait a second, what are you doing? Get your hands off of me, God. Like, what are you doing? This is not what you normally do. And the Lord's like, but you prayed about this. And sometimes we can get startled into resistance. And so I just want to caution you that if you choose to live a Psalm 40 life, where you're waiting patiently for God and crying out to Him about things, you're going to experience His nearness and you're going to experience His power to transform, and He's going to put a heart of worship in you, and you're going to influence people like the last part of verse 3, and you may get startled by all of that. Don't resist the work of God. That's my second caution. Just be careful that as the Lord begins to work in your life, that you don't get frightened by it and begin to resist it. Let me ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to close this morning with prayer and with the blessing that we read over from week to week out of Exodus chapter 6. But as you stand, would you just bow for prayer, and let me just ask you again, do you need Jesus to forgive your sins? Do you need Jesus to establish this type of relationship with you where you experience God's nearness and His transforming power? Do you need to surrender your life to Jesus this morning? If you do, I'm asking you to go to the Connection Center at the end of this service. And we're actually leaving a little early to give you time to get to the Connection Center and just visit. But becoming a child of God is not a difficult or complex thing. If you sense that God is working in your life, it is as simple as saying, Lord, I know that you're calling me. I turn from everything and place my full trust in you. From my sin, from everything, Lord, and I make you the Lord and the Savior of my life. And if you're ready to do that this morning, I'm just asking you to go to the Connection Center when we leave and let somebody pray with you about that. Maybe you are a believer. Maybe you are saved. And this message is speaking to you in a different way. Maybe it's been a while since you've been near to the Lord. Or maybe even as a believer, you feel like you're in a miry bog and you need to cry out to God. Maybe you realize that what the Lord has done on the inside isn't really translating to the outside, and you're not being a tremendously effective witness, and you want today to be different. You want to go from here being a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to remind you that at the end of every service, the altars are open for you to come and pray. If you're not going to the Connection Center and you feel like you need to come forward and just spend time in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the psalmist, for the eloquent way that he communicates important and powerful and deep theological truth. We believe, Lord, that these things are benefits and not side effects of prayer. We want to be near to you, O God. We want to be transformed by you. We want to sing songs of praise to you, O Lord. And we want the world to see your goodness through our life. Lord, thank you for the love that you have established among us as a church family. Thank you for the way that we can laugh a little bit and cry a little bit together today. Thank you for the gift of music and the way that it moves us. Thank you for the way that your Spirit works when the Word of God is at work among us. My prayer, Lord, is that as we close this service, that each one of us would be mindful of what you're doing in our life, and that we would be faithful to respond to you, not to a preacher, not to a human being's expectations, but to the movement of your Spirit, O Lord. Would we be faithful to that? We pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen.